time to move your feet. On the upbeat, so come on and dance with me. Cause life is bitter, life is sweet, and it's got you on the edge of your seat. But you know that life is better, it's always better on the upbeat.
Welcome to On the Upbeat. I am your host, Matt Vest, and with me is Adam the Ska Mailman. How's it going, Adam?
Oh, not too bad. How are you doing today, Matt?
I am doing okay. Let's be honest. You know, some days, not so great. But, you know, I try to show up here and be excited and to talk some ska, and that's what we're going to do. And for those following along at home, today I'm wearing a plain black t-shirt because that's how I feel today, plain black. And one of our guests is wearing a plain black shirt too. We're like twinsies. All right, Adam, tell us about who we have here.
All right, well, joining us today from the band Flying Raccoon Suit, you know him and you love him, it's Andrew and Curly. How's it going today?
Yay!
Great, thanks for having us. I'm not wearing a plain black t-shirt, I'm sorry.
Oh, but you are wearing a ska shirt.
I'm not wearing pants.
Same.
Oh my God, we are twinsies.
You guys really are twinsies right now.
Yeah. Okay, so look, normally I let a little bit chit-chat go along before we get into like the ska question. But you know what? This, I've got something planned. No one knows about it. I'm excited about it. And so here we got a ska quiz. Yay, ska quiz.
Oh, no.
And we're gonna put Andrew and Curly against each other.
Oh, no.
I win.
And by default, I'm a loser.
I don't know. Who knows? Some of these questions give really clear clues. Adam, you're going to keep score.
I can do that.
Rank the Dream Theater albums. I got it.
Here we go. All right. So, here's the question, though, and you guys get a choice. Do you want the easy level or the hard level? The hard level.
Oh, come on.
The hard level is no multiple choice. The easy level is with I'll give you a multiple choice.
I mean, I want hard. Curly wants easy.
Let's go with the easy.
I'm always hard, all right? I'm ready to...
Whoa.
Take me to Pound Town, Andy.
This episode brought to you by Blue Chew.
Four hymns. All right. You know what? Let's go with easy. So wait until I get through all the multiple choice. And if you know the answer, just, you know, say your name. All right. So here's the first question. And basically... all these are like, who is this band? That's the basic. I'm going to describe them. this will be fun. And sorry, Curly, I did forget that you didn't get into ska until you started playing in a ska band. But here we go. This is going to be fun. This New Jersey-based ska band has called Nirvana, Squirrel Nut Zippers, and the Stand By Me soundtrack some of their biggest influence. They do the song Moment of Silence. Who are they? Operation Ivy, Catch 22, Streetlight Manifesto, Flogging Molly.
Curly.
I think I heard Curly first.
I heard Curly first.
Get it.
It's multiple choice. Like, what do you want me to do? Operation Ivy.
Nope.
Bay Area punk legends. Streetlight Manifesto.
Yay!
You called them a ska band, though.
Yay! They started a band that I should have known. They started ska, so I think they just fall into that category.
I agree, they're a ska band for the record.
All right, next up, question number two. This band, their original lineup included their high school band director on trombone. They do a song called Wine Stained Lips. Who is this band? Hippos. Buck Cherry, Catch 22, Suicide Machines.
Curly.
Okay, Curly, get it. What is it?
It's definitely Buck Cherry.
No.
Oh, not nailed it.
Andrew?
Yeah.
What is rough? Is it Suicide Machines?
No. This is kind of a trick question. No one gets a point. It's actually Catch 22. So it's even in the notes for this quiz. because it's also, you know, because there's a crossover between Catch-22 and Streetlight Manifesto.
Yeah.
I just want to hear that terrible song, the, hey, I'm a crazy bitch, with like a trombone ripping behind it.
All right. I think everyone will get this band, but remember to wait until I read all four multiple choice.
I think, honestly, I like the flow that we got going here. Give me an honest shot.
Okay.
Let me answer first anyway.
This band has covered The Cure, Aha, Social Distortion. The song She Has a Girlfriend Now is an original. Who is this band? Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
Oh.
Curly. I know this one.
Keep going. Matt, keep going.
The Toasters, Supervillains, and Real Big Fish.
Real Big Fish.
Yay!
Curly got one! Yay! I only know that because Fly Raccoon Suit covered She Has a Girlfriend Now.
Oh,
there you go. So it's your ska knowledge from joining this ska band. Right.
Yeah, it was before I joined.
This band featured the song Dos... This is terrible because I should have read over these questions better. I'm not sure to pronounce this name.
That's the number two.
Dos Methamphetamine. On their maybe this will help. Summer Heat in Texas album. I've never even heard of this band. The Carb Sharks, the Toasters, Real Big Fish, Leftover Crack.
What was the question?
I don't know. Let's just skip it. We're going to cut that question.
Andrew.
Andrew, what is it?
Andrew have a guess.
The first band.
No. Oh, yes, it is. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's that? What are we going? 2-1 now? All right. This band made an appearance on a television show, King of the Hill, Dawson's Creek, and their song Spiderwebs. What band is this? Long Short Hero, English Beat, no doubt, MU330.
Curly.
What is it?
Give me a fighting chance, Andy. It's no doubt.
Woohoo! Yay!
Already winning, Curly.
because I cheat.
Don't give me a chance.
This band takes its name from a series of American nuclear testing. They have a well-known logo tagged The Dancing Ska Man. Their song is Unity. What is this band? Real Big Fish, Streetlight Manifesto, Catch-22, Operation Ivy.
Andrew.
Yes, Andrew.
Operation Ivy.
Woohoo! Yay! Point Andrew. Yeah.
Woo! 2-3.
I do question that fact about the dancing ska man. I don't...
Yeah, he's got the one with like the big like Liberty spikes.
Yes. Now I remember.
Yeah, it was like English Beat is what most people think of, I'm sure.
Yeah. This band's motto was be the music, not the scene. They did the song All We Wanna Be. Who is this band? Long Short Hero, Rude Squad, Can't Do It, Weak Sauce.
Curly.
What is it, Curly?
Rude Dude.
No. I think you mean Rude Squad, but no.
Yeah.
Andrew.
Andrew, you got a guess?
Weak Sauce?
No, it is Long Short Hero. Never heard of that band.
Yeah,
I have not heard that band.
Fine for me, yeah.
This next question. They played their first show. Oh, this is kind of a trick question. They played their first show on the 4th of July.
Never played a show.
On July 4th, 1988, under the name Under My Voodoo is their... Oh, sorry. Their first show on July 4th. Under My Voodoo is their song. Who is this band? Choking Victim, Sublime, Against All Authority, Voodoo Glow Skulls.
Curly.
Curly, what is it?
Voodoo Glow Skulls.
No.
Andrew.
Andrew, what is it?
Sublime.
Correct.
Because you said it was a trick question,
yes.
Curly.
I thought that was the trick because voodoo would be the obvious answer. So I was big braining saying it's tricky because you think that's the opposite. Wait.
Yeah, that's the opposite of what
that's
I
what right. the game master so, wants so you here, to think.
So here's the last question. This band
this
once
one is worth 5,000 points.
Yes, winner take all. This Shit. Band once posted on their blog page that they had three rules: play ska music, sweat profusely on stage, and make their fans leave their show wanting more. their best known song is Better Way. Who is this band? The Scottalites, The Know-How, Tweed Sneakers, and MU330.
Curly.
What is it?
MU330?
No.
It's the only band I know.
Andrew?
What do you think, Andrew?
Not the Scottalites. If it is, I'll be bummed.
It's not the Scottalites. It's the Know-How.
Oh, so that's how we're doing. Okay. I didn't know it was multiple choice, but all right.
So it's the Know-How is the answer.
It's right. The Know-How?
Yeah.
Well, Andrew won. It was 4-2, but Curly, you that was a valiant effort.
Yeah, good job. Thank Yay. You.
Next time it'll be Dream Theater trivia. Just yes, for you.
Thank you.
And so next time, that. Matt,
give me Coheed and Cambria trivia.
There we go.
And next time I'll read over the questions better, so I know how to pronounce everything or cut a question.
So we can get you more involved in ska by showing you the Coheed and Cambria, Favor in the House, Atlantic, Mighty mm-hmm. Mighty Boss Tones mashup.
I mean, I'm here for that. I'm here for it.
It honestly works really well.
Oh, was that like that real series? I think I've seen those.
Yeah, yeah. I saw it on TikTok like 4 years ago, and it blew my mind.
It slaps.
All right, so let's get into ska news. Here we go.
Rude girls and rude boys too. Grab your friends and listen to what we're telling you. I saw, you might have heard, but again, you're about to miss me in ska news.
Yes, ska news, where we tell you about the latest releases and all the cool things happening in the ska community. First up, our friends of the show, Orange County's own Half Past Two, on March 15th, they released a new song called Talk Is Killing Me. This is the title track off the band's new album that drops April 19th. It's out on Bad Time Records. You can pre-order a copy right now. Go do it. I think they might be running out, so maybe you won't be able to reorder a copy. But let's listen to a clip from the title track off their new album, "The Talk Is Killing Me." Definitely excited for this album, and I'm really jealous of all the Bad Club Record people who have already gotten it and have posting that they're listening to it. And I'm crying and sad. Hence the black shirt. All right, Adam, what do you got?
On March 15th, Seattle-based band Mr. Blank did a cover of Lit's very popular song, My Own Worst Enemy. Let's give that a little listen.
Can we forget about the things I said when I was drunk? I didn't mean to call you that. I can't remember what was said or what you threw at me. Please tell me.
Yeah, that's a really fun cover. That's one of the best pop punk songs of all time, and Mr. Blank absolutely nailed it. That horn section is killer, playing that lead line through most of it. Love this cover. Very cool.
I gotta say, I was really missing the guitar opening of that song. I know I know they want to do like their own thing, but like listening to it, it's so maybe it's not fair to say iconic, but that guitar just, it's so hooky, it's so catchy, well, it's so melodic.
It's instantly recognizable.
Yeah.
So it is still recognizable with the horns doing
absolutely.
It. You still go like, oh, I know what that is, but I can, you know, understand the guitar there.
So I was just like, oh, I wish they had opened that, maybe transitioned more into the horns. But I get it. It's a good cover, very danceable, fun ska cover to listen to for sure, no matter what I just said. All right, next up, we got a new song from San Diego's own Late for Life. They released a new track called M357, or I don't know. I'll have to ask them. Is it M357 or is it M357? How do we say it? What's the correct way? But until we figure that out, let's listen to a clip of the song. Here we go.
A boy stares in the mirror, his hand holding a loaded gun. Two shots missing from the chamber, what has he done? Chasing that one shot, one kill thrill. Now he can't stop, so he reloads. He reloads. What did you do? Those bullets aren't for you, I tell you. It's the chemist cowboy code. A perfect companion when you're drinking alone. A constant pollution.
I love it. It's very tough and heavy, and that's my favorite kind of ska. Tough and heavy ska punk. And I enjoy that song. All right. So we do want to talk about the elephant in the room. If you didn't see social media over the last weekend, we wanted to let you know that our good pal, Mr. RJ Phoenix, has decided to step away from the show. If you want to know why, just ask RJ. Maybe he'll tell you. But RJ, just felt it was time for him to take some time away from the show and step down. We wish him all the best. RJ knows that he has an open invitation to come back to the show anytime he wants. So no hard feelings. There was no creative differences or anything like that. No drama on our end. And we're definitely sad to see him go. And as a tribute, I'm going to play a really funny song at the end of the show about RJ Phoenix's love for Smash Mouth. So if you've listened to the show for any length of time, maybe you have know why that song is a thing. But yeah, you'll be able to listen to it at the end of the episode. And it's a fun
song.
Yeah,
and I just wanted to say, too, just what touching on you, what you're saying is there's absolutely no beef or anything. There shouldn't be any like rumors like, oh, there was a big fight or anything, because, that's how things kind of spread. Yeah. No, RJ is still very much our friend. Still talk to him all the time. Great guy. Wealth of knowledge. We're definitely going to miss that. But he's still around in the scene and stuff, So so we love RJ and we're sad to see him go, but he's still very much a part of the show in our hearts. And how I, being newer on the show, try to take how I'm going to be involved in the show and very much in image of RJ, try to do kind of what he does, but no one can do what RJ does. So just do my version of it.
Yes, no one can replace RJ's. What's that? Gosh, where's he from? The Midwest wit. No one can replace his Midwest wit and how dry it is and stuff like that. So RJ is definitely going to be missed. RIP, RJ. All right. I'm just going to start. Gary's dead. RJ's dead.
Yeah, RJ's dead.
Wow. Adam, what's your favorite Mountain Dew?
Oh, that's actually okay. I am a big fan of Mountain Dew. We can at least talk about that.
Yes, absolutely.
Dude, it's code red. Code red all day, every day.
All right.
Respect the code.
Yeah.
That is probably my favorite alternative Mountain Dew. I still like Mountain Dew. I like Mountain Dew is my favorite Mountain Dew.
Post alternative Mountain Dew.
Post
We're getting into the subgenres of Mountain Dew. This is, you know, post 2002 Taco Bell Baja Blast Mountain Dew is better than pre 2002 Baja Blast Mountain Dew.
Man, I got a 12 pack of the Baja Blast. And I don't want to go through them just because I know it won't be there forever.
Exactly.
Yeah,
unless I let it be there forever.
You got to pour one out for RJ.
Yeah.
No, you can't waste that. RJ wouldn't want you to waste it.
RJ would actually hate that. He'd think it's like, a waste. Don't waste it.
Well, I think he'd want you to drink it, but not pour it out like on the floor. Like definitely. Just drink it for it. Sure. Cheers, that's RJ. True. So
then went out into my gullet.
That's true. That technically you could be pouring it into your gullet. Yeah. All right.
Say the word. I'm just kidding.
So Flying Raccoon Suit, you know, here's the thing. You weren't on the show that long ago, and so you have a West Coast tour coming up, you know, and you're hitting some West Coast states and cities. What can you tell us about it?
All glory to Half Past Two, because honestly, the West Coast, the drives are so long that we probably would have went East Coast again, but they said, do you guys want to come out and do our album release shows? And we're like, absolutely. So we finally did it, pulled the trigger on this, and it's very hard. Please come see us if you're on the West Coast.
Just like me.
Can you name all the dates right now off the top of your head?
We're starting off at a mystery date that hopefully announces soon. Then it's Colorado. We're driving overnight to that. That's fun. We're doing Salt Lake City after that. Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a good all ages show, or just outside of Las Vegas. I think technically it's Henderson, Nevada at the Eagle Airy Hall. San Francisco is north of Orange County. Is that the first one?
Correct.
Okay.
This isn't trivia again, Andy.
No, asking the California folks about their geography.
I don't know. I don't leave the house. No, just kidding. No. Yes, it there is north.
I've seen you at a show.
That's true. Yes, that's true.
Yeah, and then Santa Ana, which is Orange County, right?
Correct.
That's where I've heard ska started.
Yeah. It was invented by Carson Daly in 1997.
I heard that for a theme song.
Yeah.
Then it's San Luis, Arizona, El Paso, and San Antonio. And of all those dates, we've only played San Antonio before. We've played that once. And that was previously the most west we've gone in this whole country.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So it starts
the
on
most west I'll ever be in my entire life, or maybe ever have been so far.
So, what?
So it's the...
I misspoke and said it's the most west I'll ever be. Just like, I guess that's the end. I'm dead.
Well, I think you guys are going to like the West Coast a ton. You're going to like, even starting out in Colorado. Colorado's beautiful. Salt Lake City is really close to me. I go there all the time. It's probably 5 hours from where I am. Salt Lake City is beautiful. They've got a really great ska and punk scene over there. So you'll have a good turnout. And then, yeah, obviously California, they'll eat you up and leave no crumbs. You're a ska band, you know?
I'm so stoked. And Denver, like, I know Denver ska is a big thing. I've never experienced it, but I played Supernova last year, and the Denverites started playing at Supernova, and a gigantic, like, Denver ska flag emerged from the audience. Oh, shit, they're serious. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, Dendrites rule, too.
Oh, yeah. So I'm for our horn players to hear them, because I'm sure they're unaware of what the Dendrites are and how hard they rip, and the horn players are going to be super into that band.
So I have some sad news, though, for you. I will not be at the Orange County show.
Well, I guess this is the end of our time here.
But I will be at the San Francisco show. Yay!
Yay! Yay!
Where do you live? Orange County or San Francisco?
Yeah,
Orange County. Lives at the bottom of the hill where we're playing.
No, I just decided... Well, okay, so my original idea was to actually go to both. I roped in a friend to go with me up to San Francisco, and he has never been there, so he wanted to take a day to, like, sightsee and stuff. So I was kind of like, well, you know, you're doing me the favor of coming all the way up there. Fine, we'll stay a day, and we won't come right home. So I won't get to go see you guys two nights in a row, but I am coming to San Francisco, and I'm excited. Because a lot of bands have been playing at that bottom of the hill venue. So
hey, that means that we will have both traveled to see Flying Raccoon Suit. Last year, I came from Boise, Idaho, all the way out to Austin, Texas for SPI Fest. And Flying Raccoon Suit was high up on the list for me. If I'm gonna travel to see a band, that's definitely one of them. So
thank you for travel to see cool going. Bands. Yeah,
yeah. Thank you. That festival ruled. By the way, there were so many good bands there.
SPI Fest rules. People that can't see, I'm wearing a power up shirt. Like that's some great bands.
People that can't see, they rule. Yeah.
Can't hear.
So
yeah, since, SPI Fest is great. Sorry. Good.
So since you guys are touring the West Coast, what is your favorite thing about touring?
I like to be with my friends in a meaningful manner and get to play music with my friends. And also, I'm really excited to check out the other bands. Like, that's one of the most exciting things for me because, like, transparently, I kind of live under a rock. And, like, I don't listen to enough new music as is. But, like, actually getting to go out and see these other bands that are in the scene and stuff like that, I'm really excited just to do that. And also hang out with my friends because I love them.
Yeah. I love everyone in this band. So, honestly, it is a good excuse to hang out with our, like, all our best friends, honestly. And also in transparency, we haven't had a full band practice in like 5 years. So this is when we see each other. This is when I get to see, yeah, like Nevin and Brandon and everybody in the band. I'm like, oh shit, it's been since last tour since I've seen you guys.
Dude, some bands get sick of each other, but like we don't do enough to be like warrant that. So anytime like we have an excuse to get together and do shit, it's just like, oh yay, that's awesome.
It really is. And East Coast spoiled us in the sense that like we could do stuff during the day because all the major cities are like 1 to 3 hours apart. So like on the West Coast tour, we're stoked to hang out. We have the most off days of any tour we've had just to like be driving. So we're trying to plan stuff on the off days. Like, all right, maybe this is the only time some of us will see the Grand Canyon and stuff like this on our way to Vegas and things like that. So
yeah,
we'll check off some of those boxes.
Yeah. Yeah. Might as well if you're out here.
Yeah.
Yeah, West Coast definitely has a lot of space between some of its major cities and stuff like that. There's a lot of...
Oh my god. Space. Oh, shout out. This is random. Salt Lake City. Shout out Wicked Bears. So I've been working on this tour for like half a year. And when I started, maybe because there's this other festival going on around there, but there was already 7 holds on the Salt Lake City on a Monday. And I was like, what do you do? Like, you have to plan more than that for a Monday show, like more than half a year out. And Wicked Bears made it happen. So like all these bands in the scene just being like super homies, like really appreciate.
Dude, Nick from Wicked Bears is a really good friend of mine, and I'll be seeing him in April going to Salt Lake City because he's great. He just booked Devin K and the Solutions over there. I know of a secret show he's working on. I can't say much about, but another, you know, big ska band that we all love, trying to hook up a show with them. So Nick is the homie, and he hooks everyone up coming through Salt Lake City. He's the greatest.
Is he who runs the socials?
Yes, he is.
Okay, then I've been talking to him, and he is the greatest. I agree. he helped us out.
You're also twinsies. Wow. Yeah.
Well, it's so funny. It's so funny we talk about Nick and Ed because that's one of my favorite bands ever too. So the fact that Nick is my friend is like even better. But I was picking up my kids from school the other day, and one of the parents came up to me and was like, hey, are you the ska mailman? And I was like, yeah, I am. Like, that's crazy. And he goes, yeah, Nick from Wicked Bears is like one of my best friends. And I was like, he can't be one of your best friends. He's one of my best friends. That's not fair.
Like,
So Nick just knows everybody. He's awesome.
So that secret
both fought each other.
So that secret show that he's working on, is it with the band that we all want to see, Leftover Crack? Is it that band?
Oh yeah, it's totally yeah. It's Leftover Crack, but with Stizza only.
Okay.
And so it's a show that everyone wants to see.
What about the Card Sharks? Is it the Card Sharks?
Oh, I see. You're talking.
Yes, I went back to the questions of bands. I didn't actually know. Didn't know anything.
I thought you're trying to be controversial.
No,
I don't know what the Card Sharks are. Are they controversial?
Probably not.
I just know Leftover Crack is controversial.
Leftover Blood Crack is all I heard.
Yeah, I've never heard of Leftover Crack, so I have no idea.
We'll have a conversation about it. It's pretty wild stuff.
Oh, awesome. All right. So we talked about what the best thing about touring is. What's the worst?
I think the worst of it is what Andy's been doing, which is planning a tour.
Yeah, working on it for 6 months, like there's been times where I'm like, I haven't pulled my guitar out of my case since December 2nd, but I have worked on the band every day. it's stuff like that. It's I mean, the travel obviously can be rough. The days you don't play, you hemorrhage money a little bit. We've been fortunate to, knock on wood, nothing has happened to our van yet, but we see the horror stories, you know, that's always a thing. I don't know. The last couple tours have been good. The worst we've had is having to pick up members at airports and stuff for various reasons.
Yeah.
How about you, Curly?
Yeah. I don't know. I have a lot of, anxiety and stuff about being away from home for very long. I love touring. I love playing music and stuff. And really, I've only done like one like actual tour, and I didn't really know what to expect and didn't expect to get homesick, because like the excitement and everything is like, oh yeah, let's travel, let's go out and do the thing. And then I got like a weekend, I'm like, man, I really miss my kids and my family and my bed and stuff. And like, again, like still love going out and traveling and playing music and hanging out with my friends. But I'm very much a homebody. Like I love just going home every day, eating dinner, like just the traditional, like eat together as a family, go to bed together. Well, I usually stay up and play video games, but read my son a bedtime story, go night night. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
I like that shit. I'm a basic bitch. Like,
yeah, Curly has kids, and also because of that, he has adopted this dad brain, which is really helpful for touring, because he will fall asleep in any given opportunity, which is a superpower. So he'll be in the van just like neck like cocked at a 45 degree angle, like in the back seat.
Where you have anywhere. No support. Anywhere I could fall asleep.
And we're just like, I'm so jealous, I can't do this.
So when you're touring, who does the majority of the driving, or do you guys like switch off? Because I know of me, I if I drive for more than 6 hours at a time, I'm just in a terrible mood.
Definitely Guillermo and Brandon, our sax player and trumpet player. Mostly Brandon is just a trooper. Like that dude could just, he's a fucking road hog. Like that guy just drives.
Yeah. We can't be on the road too many days of the year because of our jobs. So that makes us do some overnight drives when we wouldn't otherwise. And he drove us overnight from San Antonio back to Mississippi like a trooper. We would wake up and the way he's driving is terrifying. We're like, I need to go back to sleep. This is not scary.
It's like, well, if it happens, I don't want to be awake for it.
Yeah. But I feel very fortunate in this band. There's multiple people that want to drive because there's those two, like Guillermo and Brandon, like Curly was saying, and then also Clay offers to drive. I'm like, usually it's the opposite of this. Nobody wants to drive. So like, I love it. Yeah. Half the band is offering. Sick.
I spent like half my life working graveyard shifts, so I was used to doing like overnights and stuff. But since I transitioned out of that job, it's a little bit harder. So like, I feel like at some point, either in the last tour or recently, I was like, yeah, I can handle the overnight drive, and like got like 3 hours in, I'm like, I'm eepy. I don't know.
Yeah.
But if I know ahead of time, I can usually caffeinate and stuff like that to be able to just kind of zone out. And it's pretty obnoxious because the rules are like, if you're driving, you get to pick the playlist and stuff, but they'll all be passed out. And I'm just jamming out to like the most random shit. I'll go from like Rush to like Lana Del Rey to Slipknot to Dream Theater and Coheed. And at some point somebody wakes up, I'm like, what the fuck are you listening to? And I'm like, shut up. It's the Hamilton musical. Don't go to
God, dude. Curly, yeah. Curly, you and I would get along real well with all that stuff. That's because like my wife is so over ska. She's like, pick something else. And then I picked almost every single one of the artists he mentioned. She's like, that's not really doing it for me either.
Yeah. My wife, the only thing she kind of says no to at this point is Weird Al, unfortunately.
I love Weird Al.
I know. And she does too.
That's a problem.
She sure. Does, trust me. I've thought divorce papers have been looked at, but no, it's really just for her. Like, I think it's the same thing with her in comedy movies and stuff like that. She, once the sort of joke is there and experienced, it's really not fun for her. Oh, and so I kind of get it. But then at the same point, she watches the same stand-up over and over.
Yeah, and there's stand-up albums. I mean, Weird Al, the band, also rips. So there's that.
Of course. Yeah, and it's been the same band the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no band. That's insane. To do that.
Yeah. So we're gonna listen to your guys' song, Pinwheel, And what can you tell us about the song Pinwheel?
So Jessica and I split lyric writing. This is one I wrote the lyrics to. And it's open for some interpretation. Like, it's basically just about a bad person, I guess I would say. Mm-hmm. And then whatever folks want to read into that. I don't like to hit things. Don't hit the nail too much on the head sometimes, because I hear songs like that sometimes and I'm like, ah, well, that might ruin it for some people. So something like that. Yeah.
Awesome. So let's take a listen to Pinwheel and then we'll come back and chat some more.
I'm gonna break on through.
That's a great song, and it's short. How do you guys balance out that process of sort of writing? Are you guys kind of like, you kind of just know when the song is done? Do you like try to make sure you hit certain structures with songs? You know, how do you have like a 3 minute, 30 second song opposed to like a minute 20?
So Curly and I are on opposite ends of the spectrum with this. So I'll do some, like, if it's slow, I think maybe the 4 minute ish is the furthest I've ever gone, but I love things like this where it's two choruses in and out. There's some group vocal to like hook it in your brain, mm-hmm. That sort of stuff. Or if it's fast, maybe you can jam a lot more format into that, you know, minute, whatever. But then Curly.
Yeah. I think Andy's stupid. And his opinions are invalid. So
wait, you're telling me the guy who likes Dream Theater wants a longer song?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I've grown to trust Andy's opinions and like creativity to a fault. Where it's just like, man, whatever this guy says, like, I just believe in him, because every single time, even in the studio, like Pinwheel, for example, it's a song that really didn't like grabbed me whenever he kind of sent me the just generic scratch. And then once we got together and started like actually hashing out ideas, started to grow on me. And that's how it always works, where by the end of it, I'm like, fuck, this might be my favorite song on the album. Like, this, he was right. He's always right.
Well, especially Curly wrote what is a lot of people's favorite song on the album, which is our longest song ever.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, the song Links, I'm always like more of a fan of the longer shit, but like I've kind of learned from Andy, like, sometimes you got to leave him wanting more, which is true, I think, in some cases. And especially like a group shouty thing, like if that just had like three courses, it'd be like, all right, I'm fucking over. Like, let's move on.
Yeah.
But I mean, I love the song. I love the goofy like Scooby-Doo sounding riff. And I ended up layering like a marimba and some like bells behind it with the guitar and stuff that you wouldn't like necessarily hear. But even on like stuff like that, I'm always like trying to like hide little things in the production and shit like that.
Well, you know, and that brings me to a question I was wanted to ask you too, because I don't know if everyone knows, but Curly, you recorded the whole album Moonflower. You've got a recording set up at your house. The record sounds amazing. I'm sure you have all these little ideas of like adding things in the background like that to thicken out stuff, or there's little things that you're just hiding in there. And those are the things that I always find super fascinating, because I'm just getting into home recording as like of like a year ago, and I'm already like, oh yeah. And I think on a song recently for myself, I put like a glockenspiel really tucked away, and I was like, yeah, that sounds amazing. No one's gonna know it's there. And so to have but to have that in like the band yourself, where you can kind of experiment and play with that, I think brings it to a whole nother level, because you're able to have that time and space to do that on your own.
No, for sure. And like, I think part of my like thought process when it comes to production is like, I never want it to sound boring or repetitive. So like, even down to like the subtleties that nobody would realize, like the parts that repeat themselves, quote unquote, are never actually the same. For example, a chorus part, it might seem like it's identical, but there's always like either an extra flavor of like a guitar track, or sometimes I'll even like pan the guitars opposite of each other just out of like spite, because I'm like, it's not going to be the same. It's there's always something subtly different. And I think that's kind of like it's maybe part of the secret to the sound, when it comes to production, is I never like to repeat things. I like to keep things interesting, not even for the listeners, but for myself. Like, because when I'm listening back, I'm like, oh yeah, that's interesting, because I remember doing this. And I'm like, sometimes I don't remember the thought process, but I'll hear it, and it kind of take me back to when I'm sitting in my little desk doing all this dumb shit. Yeah. I did Glockenspiel also in Dyad. That one's a little more noticeable, but yeah, I like throwing goofy shit in here and there. And there's probably stuff that most of the band doesn't even recognize, but like, I'm always like, oh yeah, that's in there.
Yeah, well, and that makes me think of another question I had. You're saying like putting goofy shit in there. I don't know if it'd be called goofy, but it's not typical in ska.
All right, a marimba's goofy as hell, okay? Nobody's out here playing marimba seriously.
That's true. But no, Andrew, you played sousaphone on this record too, didn't you?
Yeah,
and so that's like, and I've been thinking of this lately in ska music, you know, you kind of have the typical horns you're used to, but, you know, especially in like first wave stuff, there was a lot of flute involved. I know Rico Rodriguez played like the flugelhorn in a lot of stuff, like he played with the Skatalites. So having the sousaphone, I think that's really interesting. What's your guys' process for going like, well, let's like add these extra horns in here and stuff?
Well, that one is convenient because that is my main instrument, actually. I play a lot in brass bands and stuff on the coast, doing tuba and sousaphone. We did it in this, and then one other cover we had done, or I guess two other covers we've done. I played sousaphone. But we, at least in this one, we wanted to be like, what is unique about us? And for this band, like half of us, me, Brandon, and Nevin, and then also Curly, has filled in. Like, we do this brass band thing as our bread and butter on the weekends, like the Gulf Coast, New Orleans-y street jazz stuff. So we were like, how can we further add like a bit of ourselves in a genuine way to this? And that was one way we thought would sound like us, and then also like a little bit maybe different from the other stuff that's out there. But and Curly's on banjo on that track, like, yeah just having multi-instrumental people in the band is such an asset when we want to try stuff like that.
That's great. I played sousaphone one time in high school because it was Halloween. And me and my friends wore masks in the band, and I was on the drum line, and we switched places, and he didn't know how to play drums, and I didn't know how to play the sousa, and so our band director was very confused. But every time someone would be like, "Hey, nice tuba," I go, "It's not a tuba."
So you're a drummer.
I am also a multi-instrumentalist, but I consider drums my very first thing. I picked up drums like the third grade.
Gotcha.
And like learned how to play Green Day and then Real Big Fish immediately after that. So I've been playing ska since like the third grade.
That rules. Man, I got into tuba just because my family was poor. So like they made all the band students buy their instruments. If it was like a trumpet or sax or something, you had to like finance it through the music place. But if it was an expensive thing, like drumline or tuba or something, they're like, buy this $100 mouthpiece and you get to use one the school owns. Like, all right, sounds good. That's what I'm doing for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Yeah. In middle school, I played alto sax, and that was one that my parents, had paid for through the rental. But then when they got divorced, they're like, yeah, we can't afford to pay. You're going to play drums because you're good at that, and we're not paying. Yeah, same kind of thing.
Exactly.
But speaking of alto, that's another thing. I think you and I have had a conversation about this in a secret Discord. for SPI Discord, when the album came out, I was very confused because the alto sax that Nevin plays sounds a lot like a soprano at times. He's hitting insanely high notes, and I was like, I don't think it's a soprano, but it's super high.
That's just Nevin.
Yeah, he is without exaggeration the greatest saxophone player I've seen, even like in other bands on stage and recordings. Like, he lives and breathes saxophone, and he's an alto player mainly, but he hits the altissimo range, like the notes you're not supposed to hit, but you can do with a weird position and extra fingering. So in Curly's song, Long in the Tooth, the very end of the song, if you hear the squealy, like, stratosphere stuff, he's playing a concert E that's an octave above where the range of the alto is supposed to stop. He's like an octave above that, just like squealing up there. It blows my mind.
That's insane.
It was crazy. Like, because when we're kind of getting the horn parts together, the outro was a little bit of like a question mark. And we kept telling Evan, like, you know, we don't know what you're comfortable range wise. Like, yeah, it's fine. I'll do it. It's like, no, well, we could take this down. And he's like, nah, I got this. He nailed it in like maybe like three or four takes. Like, it was crazy. It was legitimately like ear piercing. It was insane.
Yeah, because me and Curly, well, I know enough about horn writing now, but, you know, we play rhythm instruments in this band, so we'll write parts for the horn players sometimes. And with Nevin, there's like no limit to what you can put for him. You're like, this note is too high for alto, but I'm just going to put this here.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, he's great.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So I was, when we were talking about touring and stuff like that, and you were talking about booking the tour, and you kind of mentioned that, you know, you guys haven't all practiced together in like a long time. Mostly I was wondering about, like, how do you coordinate a tour like this that you have coming up with people in different states, different type of jobs? You haven't been able to even practice. How do you actually, how does the band block out time, you know, that you're all agree upon? How does that usually get structured?
God, it sucks. It sucks so bad. It's usually like, well, we actually literally just scheduled a practice, and it was like a 3-day process of like, okay, let's pick a date range. What weekends are you guys available? Because we can't do weekdays. And immediately that's ass, because it's like, well, I could do it if it was a weekday. It's like a, oh man, it's a pain in the ass. So like, we eventually all come to a consistency on a day, and then for whatever reason, somebody's like, not it, chief. Yeah. So the answer is it's impossible, but like every now and then we strike gold and it happens. Yeah. But 9 out of 10 times it's like 5 out of 7 members or 6 out of 7 members. When it truly is like all of us together in a room, it really does feel special because it's so hard to do.
Yeah. And I will say, this is the first tour. Sorry, go.
No, you go ahead. You do it.
This is the first tour we've done where all 7 of us will be on it, because, you know, we've only been really like big boy touring like longer than 3 or 4 days, like since the pandemic has ended. And like our first tour, you know, we had to get a sub for Curly. He had a new job. We were missing a horn player. Last year, we had a fill in horn. We were missing 2 horns. This year, Nevin, our alto player, does have to fly in and meet us at the first California show. But from then on, we're finally going to have all 7 of us for the rest of the run, which has never happened before. So it is hard. And at most, we can do like 2 weeks a year with our jobs, which is why the drives are so long, because we could make it easier, but then we couldn't do the tour because it'd be over the 2 weeks. So we can just get to those 2 California dates and then back home in time. And people are like, you know, you could do 5 or 6 days in California, you know, if you wanted. And we're like, well, we can't get home in time. And I feel really bad. We've had a lot of offers and requests to go up to Oregon and Washington and stuff. Yeah. And looking at a map, we're just like, I don't think we could make it in time unless somebody's willing to fly us out or something. It's hard.
Is the 2 weeks kind of because everyone can take 2 weeks off of, like, 2 weeks vacation? Like, is that?
Basically, yeah. The band is kind of half day job folks like me and Curly, who are on, like, what you said. And then it's half folks like Brandon, who is a working musician. Like, he makes his living, you know, actually playing music. He does the cover band thing, the cafe thing. Like, he records for people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, and for folks like him that make a living playing music, it's like, he'll do it as long as, if it looks worth it, you know, that sort of thing, he'll come do it. Yeah. But he doesn't have ties to the 9-to-5 like we do.
Right. Yeah.
That seems like that's why so many ska bands don't last long or have constant lineup changes, is because, you know, we have 6 or 7 members. I played in a ska band for a while where we had 6 members, and then it just got so impossible. We're like, fuck it. We're playing pop punk now. 3 of us. That's it.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's why, like, ska bands don't have the same lineup for forever, but I think that's also why ska bands can last for forever, because if it's three guys and then two of them have a problem with each other, the band is done. If it's, like, 10 people and two of them have a problem with each other, it's like, I'm hanging out with these eight people for a while.
You know, and that's kind of the jazz part. That's kind of the jazz part of ska, too. It's like, jazz, you just go, yeah, let's get another, you know, horn player, whoever can fit in, and it's, like, no hard feelings. It's just rotating.
Yeah.
Memories. Yeah. And it's also like, if one person, if you have to swap out one member, it's like 1/8 of your sound has changed. Whereas in a pop punk band, you know, 1/3 of your sound has changed. Because for this new album, like, we're basically the same lineup, but we do have a new bass player and he does have a different style. Like, he plays with a pick. He plays a 4-string on gain. Like, our old bassist was 5-string, plays with fingers, no gain, no pedals. So, like, it is a little different, but then the other six members are the same. Yeah.
All right, so going on a West Coast tour starting in April, I think it's the 27th, I think is the
27th, yep.
Yeah, I think it's, yeah, April 27th, all the way through, what's that, small print, what's that, May
5/8.
Yeah, May 8th, so go to Flying Raccoon Suit on Instagram and Twitter, you can find them all there, get all those dates. And make sure you show up to those shows if you're in any of those cities. Support the scene you want to see. And if you show up, maybe they'll come back in like a year or two. Or next time, you know, next time around. That's, yes, yeah. Or next West Coast tour, just spend all 2 weeks in California. Because there's enough markets here that you could.
Or at honestly, least, yeah.
I mean, you can come through Boise on the way to California. There's a way there, you know.
Sure. Okay.
I'm really bummed to not hit LA and stuff like Esteban's been telling us. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Before we head out, of course, we have ska picks of the week. Curly, why don't you tell us about your ska pick?
So I got
this is the Mirror by Dream Theater.
Yeah, it's a Ready Fire Aim by Call Me Malcolm. What can you say? Fucking rules. The whole album rules. But this opening track is just like chef's kiss. It's just completely my style, my genre. I love the kind of really bombastic, thrashy kind of sound with the proggy sounds. And like,
yeah,
I honestly hadn't listened to this band before their newest record. And yeah, they won me over with the opening track.
Awesome. Let's listen to Call Me Malcolm, Ready, Aim, Fire.
1998, I'm passed out again. And the fiddle on the floorboard with a faded Jeffrey record for a bed. But I'm too scared to go home instead to the me I never fell for. I stay deaf so I come for the trigger. Let's pretend I like where we are. No breath but the flames are quicker.
Yeah, I love that new album. Actually, isn't it the song title Aim, Ready, Fire? I can't remember. I always get it wrong.
I always, yeah, it's either Ready, Aim, Fire, Ready, Fire, Aim.
Something like
aim,
that.
Fire.
Firing and aiming. That's it. And being
firing and aiming.
And being ready to do those.
Oh, yeah, you can't forget about being ready last, actually.
Yes. I think that is sort of the point of the title. All right, Andrew, tell us about your ska pick.
So I initially hit you up. I was going to be like, we're throwing the homies Half Past 2 on here. And you're like, oh, we got that covered. And I was like, all right, good deal on the upbeats on top of it. But Stuck Lucky is a band like near and dear to our hearts. After the pandemic, when I said we're starting to go on our like adult tours that are longer than like 4 days, they were the first ones to do a tour with us. And then even after the tour was done and you've watched a band's set, you know, for 2 weeks at a time, it's stuck in your head and you get home and you feel like the routine is you want to be hearing this band set again. So all of us were like sharing Stuck Lucky videos and like tracks with each other. And this was the one I feel like was kind of a standout that we would listen to.
Awesome. Let's check out Paycheck by Stuck Lucky.
Wanna bite your fucking face off? If I could just get you close enough, well, I promise not to walk too loud. No, not a crease, I ain't will be in this place. I got the mind to wonder my two. What we love from the inside out. Like a snake with one too many faces. You're like a man with one too many heads. So I thought I saw the one push out. So many goals I can do without. Take those things, don't grant in mistakes. Holding on to the shit that doesn't matter at all. I want a shot in the neck. Mop it up with my paycheck.
Good song, good track, good band, and yeah. So my ska pick is from the band Millington. They recently released their Brass Emo Volume 2, and they did a cover of Ocean Ave, originally done by Yellow Card, and I love it. I love Yellow Card. I think they have great lyrics, and you ever have those bands where, like, you listen to, like, one of their albums, you really love it, you listen to a few albums, you're like, yeah, this is good stuff, and then somewhere along the line, they sort of, like, fall out of your radar, and then they come back around, and you're like, oh, yeah, again, and you love it, and you realize that's what Yellow Card is for me. I think I once tweeted, Yellow Card writes the songs that my heart could sing. Because they really do. I think I think he's a really great lyricist. Apparently they're kind of, sort of back together. But anyway, enough about Yellow Card. Let's talk about the band that we're actually going to listen to. Millington doing their cover of Ocean Ave by Yellow Card.
There's a place off Ocean Avenue where I used to sit and talk with you. We were both 16 and it felt so right. Sleeping all day, staying up all night. Staying up all night. And there's a place on the corner of Cherry Street. We would walk on the beach in our bare feet. We were both 18 and it felt so right. Sleeping all day, staying up all night.
So yes,
like checkered card. Am I right?
Right. So yes, I love basically taking any ska song or any song and making it ska. And I think Millington does a great job of sort of keeping to the heart of the song, but also making it very much their own and very ska and very brass emo. Hence the title. All right, Adam, tell us about your ska pick.
Mine is also a cover, but just hear me out. I graduated high school in 2012. Therefore, Owl City's Fireflies, in my opinion, is one of the greatest songs of all time. Any genre, any band. Every time I listen to it, I get fucking pumped. I celebrate the anniversary of when it was released every year with my supervisor at work because we both love that song.
Hell yeah.
But anyway, the band Runaway Ricochet from Minneapolis, Minnesota, has an amazing cover of Fireflies where the horn section does some absolutely crazy parts. Let's give that a listen. Fireflies, Runaway Ricochet.
Would not believe your eyes if 10 million fireflies lit up the world as I fell asleep. They fill the open air and leave teardrops everywhere. You'd think me rude, but I would just stand and stare.
I'd like to make myself believe that planet Earth turns slowly
it's hard to say. I'd rather stay awake when I'm asleep. Everything is never as it seems. I get a thousand hugs from 10,000 lightning bugs. They try to teach me.
I love, Fireflies by L City. It is absolutely a catchy song. I also get why some people don't like it because it's very catchy and people tend to push away from those. But, and this cover by Runaway Ricochet is great. And good ska picks, everyone.
And I'm seeing them at the SPI Fest later this year, and I'm really crossing my fingers they play that one live.
I'm sure you put in a special request now. I'm sure they'll do it, or not. I have no control over them.
I'm pretty sure they will, except I don't know. I have no idea, actually.
That's exactly what I said. Yeah. All right, gentlemen, Andrew and Curly, thank you for joining us this week.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And if you want to hear more shenanigans from Andrew and Curly and listen to us not talk about ska at all, you should check out our Patreon, patreon.com/ontheupbeatska, where we're going to have a little bit of bonus chat with these gentlemen. And you get like a bunch of other bonus chats with like, I don't know, I think we're up to like 70 bonus episodes just in the sort of after the upbeat thing segment we do. I think we, including other bonus episodes, I think we're like up to like 85 or something like that. So yeah, it's worth your $4 a month because you got so much more ska content and you know you need it. Don't buy that cup of coffee this week. That's fine. That's all it is. One cup of coffee a month less, and you will get more ska in your life. All right.
Stop being cowards.
Yeah, exactly.
We have no pity for a coward.
Yes. All right. Thank you for listening, listeners. We appreciate all the support you give. And, of course, until next week,
keep listening to ska.
You've been listening to On the Upbeat. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you get all the new episodes as soon as they're available. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at On the Upbeat Ska. Follow our Spotify playlist, Ska Favorites. It features all the songs heard on the show. Please consider joining our Patreon. Visit patreon.com/ontheupbeatska to sign up today. And thank you for supporting On the Upbeat.
This guy likes Smash Mouth, and I'm like, I ride for Smash Mouth.
Somebody once showed me a podcast for the homies, co-hosted by Matt Fest and RJ. He was sounding kinda bugged when his ska picks were unplugged and replaced with the song stuck in his head. Well, RJ starts humming and he don't stop humming. Matt knew the rules but he wouldn't stop bumping. It didn't make sense trying to hide it so long. I'll start by Smash Mouth, your favorite song. So much for ska and for reggae. Who cares? Let them say whatever they may. You bury it beneath your dry wit, but you'll never be able to hide it. Hey now, you love All Star, don't be ashamed, it's okay. Hey now, it goes off hard, no one's judging you, RJ. Till your love is extolled, you will just continue to get trolled. It's a great song, and they say it gets better. Second verse coming in like an operetta with a vendetta. But Mr. Phoenix face gets a little blanker, pretending that the song ain't an absolute banger. He'd rather make believe than ever admit Roots, reggae, rock city, he couldn't give a shit. His head's on fire, he's about to lash out, cause RJ Phoenix really, really loves Smash Mouth. Hey now, you love All-Star, don't be ashamed, it's okay. Hey now, it goes off hard, no one's judging you, RJ. Till your love is extolled, you will just continue to get trolled.
I do not want to lose any of your friends. all-star. Don't be ashamed, it's okay. Hey now, it goes off hard. No one's judging you, RJ. Until your love is extolled, this will just continue. Somebody once asked, could I skank away the past? I need to pick it up away from this place. I said, hip, RJ starts humming and he don't stop humming. Matt knew the rules but he wouldn't stop bumping. Didn't make sense trying to hide it so long. All Star by Smash Mouth's your favorite song. So much for Scott and for Reggae. Who cares, let them say whatever they may. You bury it beneath your dry wit, but you'll never be able to hide it. Hey now, you love All Star. Don't be ashamed, it's okay. Hey now, it goes off hard. No one's judging you, RJ. You will just continue to get trolled. You will just continue to get trolled.
So whatever, you guys. If you don't like Smash Mouth, that's fine. I'll have them all to myself. Get your game on. Go play. All that glitter is gold. Only shooting stars, me.
Somebody once told me the world was gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shade. She was looking kinda dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules and I hit the ground running. Didn't make sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets smart but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see. So what's wrong with taking the back streets? You'll never know if you don't go.
You'll never shine if you don't glow.
So hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid. All that glitters is gold. Only shooting stars break the mold.